Father, you're so great. We magnify you. We bless your holy name. And we thank you, Lord, oh God, for the privilege accorded us to come once again into your presence, to experience you, to hear your word, to be transformed, renewed, revived, restored, empowered, to live the life, even the God life. Thank you, Father, that this appointed time is a time of renewal, a time of restructuring, a time of relearning, a time of growing, a time to flourish and blossom in righteousness, in truth, in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And all that you have ordained for us to experience in you. We give you praise for all things, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it is good to see you all tonight. This is our first Bible study for, I guess, a month and a half, something like that. And did we have any in December? No. But anyhow, it's good to be back. And after 7 days of, I guess, 8 days of straight meetings, you know, some were calling, are we having another service on Monday? I said, no. But it was good to be together in the presence of the Lord. Today we continue our discuss through the book of Proverbs. We are in the 7th chapter, and in the 5th, 6th, and now the 7th chapter, there's some consistent thought that is restated over and over. Now, we talked about the four main thoughts that we have to have settled in our spirits as we go through the book of Proverbs. There are many others that we'll come across, but the first three were the keys of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And the fourth one is honor. And attached to honor is the reverence or fear of God. So there are particular themes that keep on coming through. Now, in light of all of those things, foundational to all of that is the preeminence of the Word of God and obedience to the Word of God. None of the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, the fear of God, the honor, none of that really has any foundational point outside of the Word of God. So the Word of God is the foundational aspect, which means that we need to be very conversant with that particular aspect, the preeminence of the Word of God. If you're going to seek first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, it is first and foremost about knowing the Word of God. And knowing the Word of God is not just connected to believing in the Word of God, because we've got to go past believing to knowing. About 25 years ago, the Lord spoke very clearly to me. He said, "Son, I need for you to go past believing to knowing. That's where the power is. Not only to receive, but to do. It is the people that know their God that do exploits." When you come to the place of knowing, you are licensed. I need to be careful with this so you don't misunderstand it. You are licensed, authorized by God to do things, and He will confirm it. To say things, and He will confirm it. So when you come to the place where you know God, you go past the place of prophesying in terms of foretelling, to the place of foretelling. So there are things that you now begin to say that God may have not said. But He says, "I like that." And He stamps it. Now, in the place of believing, you don't have that grace. In the place of knowing, you have that grace. And in essence, that's where we all need to grow to that place of knowing God, so that we know the mind of God concerning a matter. And if it is not what He wants to do, because sometimes God may do something differently, as His son, as His daughter, He will speak to you, He will stop you. He says, "No." But when there is no stopping, in the place of knowing, you start speaking and things start happening supernaturally. It's the place of being attached to God, where, do you remember the woman with the issue of blood, and there were people thronging the Lord and getting nothing. But he said, if I just touch him, I'm going to receive my healing. And she touched him. The word is, do you remember the word? No, the Greek word. I'm trying to. You have to guess? No. No. Okay, I'll let you go to your notes. I want you to learn some things. Okay? Now, the word is a word which means that she attached herself. Her hands were no longer there, but she had attached. Is somebody trying to find the word? I see somebody working on it. When you tell me the word, I will tell you if you're right. Thank you. I hear you. I see your text. Somebody sent a text. I love your sit down teachings. Me too. So it's a word about attaching, and the Lord says, who touched me? And he used the same word. Her hands were away, but she was still grabbing. This is that place. Nobody got it yet? Okay. I will let you. Just stay focused. Don't worry about it. The place of knowing God is that place of being so attached that his thought and your thoughts line up together. You're no longer second guessing. It is, thus saith the Lord, I say unto you, and I say unto you becomes, thus saith the Lord. Paul in his writings will sometimes make statements that it's not like I heard from the Lord. This is me saying this, but I know it's true. Okay? That's where God wants to take us all to. It's a supernatural place, but a place that should be normal for us as sons and daughters. In Proverbs 7, it says, my son, keep my words. Take hold of it and keep it. Be connected to it. Let it become one with you. And lay up my commandments with thee. Every command I give to you, lay it up. Build with it. Keep my commandments and live. Now, the word of God says, the just shall live by faith. Yes? So here, it's saying, keep my commandments and live. And in essence, what it's saying is that his commandments, as far as he's concerned, is synonymous to the walk of faith. Because faith is not just a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. Faith is connected to obedience. If you went through the book of Hebrews 11 and look at the acts of faith, you will see an underlining factor. These men obeyed God. they stayed true with God. They continued with God. And when we embrace the commandments of God, we live. He says, and my law as the apple of thine eye, let it be how you see life. See through those lenses of my word. How many times do we see the world based on what legislations and whatever else states? The directive of the Lord is that how we see life must be based on the word of God. What does the word of God say about this, about that? And make your decision based on that. Let it be what you are looking at the world through. Let it be the discerning factor. I want to make financial decisions. I want to make marital decisions, relational decisions, business decisions, whatever. See it through the eyes of the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about this particular subject? The Word of God says, for example, seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Is that what I do? Do I seek God's kingdom first? And if I'm seeking God's kingdom first, what does that really mean? About, I'll say maybe 10 years back, I remember doing a teaching and I said, you feel called by God to support his work, and I'm going to use a financial situation to illustrate what I'm about to say. And your giving is $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, whatever. That's what you give because you have a good job. So smart aleck, you start acting crazy at your work. You're not doing your job properly. You're fighting with everybody. You decide you're going to quit that job. So you quit the job. Now you're earning something that gives $5,000, no longer the $50,000. Now you've shortchanged the kingdom of God for the $5,000 because I'm going to do whatever it is I want to do. Nobody's this, and blah, 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 so on and so forth. I said, you are not seeking the kingdom of God. Now, if God tells you, leave that job, leave. But don't with your own hand sabotage yourself, because all you're thinking about is, if I just have enough for myself, I can feed my children, you know, whatever it is I've saved, I will use that until I get another job. You are not seeking first the kingdom of God, because by your very act, you've shortchanged whatever it is that the house of God, the church of God, the kingdom can accomplish. God cannot ask you for something, and now you can't do it. You are not seeking first the kingdom of God. Now, if God tells you to leave, and you left, and you started doing something, and all you were getting is $5,000, but God, who told you to leave it, knows that you're studying or whatever else, and he knows that by the time you finish this, he's going to get $100,000 out of you, that's a different story. Because you are getting direction and guidance from him. Now he can use you better. He can use your gifts better. Or whatever. God's direction. There's a son in this house. I was thinking a few weeks back, maybe longer than that. He got retired a little bit early. However, through his retirement, his time and availability to do kingdom work became even larger. More than whatever it is that he would have given in his tithing and offerings. Now he's able to do so much more. Coming to the house of God and taking care of that, taking care of that, taking care of that. And I'm thinking, if this guy was still doing that job that he was doing, all these things that he's doing now, he couldn't have been able to do it. Are you with me? It's not possible. But because he followed the guidance of God, bang, he saw through the eyes of God what God wanted him to do. So, you know, one thing this way, one thing that way, when you're seeking first the kingdom of God, when you think first the kingdom of God, things begin to line up better. Let's go a little bit further. He says, bind them, that is the word of God, bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. The word of God. So bind it on your finger. Write it on the table of your heart. Say unto wisdom. Say unto wisdom. Speak to wisdom and say, wisdom, you're my sister. Your sister, that means you have a relationship, you're family. Wisdom, we're family. We have the same DNA. You're my sister. And call understanding thy kinswoman. Wow. Why? That they may keep thee from what? What does it say? From the strange woman. Chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, God is still driving on one point. Do you think it's important? Since we started doing this series, do you know how many people of high importance that have gone under? We don't. Oodles and oodles and oodles. This, you know, when I'm saying stuff here about what God is saying, you know, sometimes you guys think, okay, Pastor is just saying something. No, no, no. I say it, and you see it. The scandals that have hit the church because of the things that we talked about in chapter 5 and chapter 6. People of high importance that did not follow the simple principles that we talked about. How the mighty fallen. I talked to you guys, if you remember, what the Lord said to me, and I think I repeated it about 3-4 months ago, that we're about to see this happening again, about mega churches that were built based on homosexuality. You remember me saying this? Okay. It's all over again. It's all over. Now, the one particular individual that is going through that right now, I don't have a confirmation whether he did or did not. I don't know. And I'm not interested in knowing, because that's not my place. You know, everybody stands or falls before the Master. Okay? But the reality is, the Lord says, I'm going to blow it all up. I'm going to expose people. I hardly said one of them, actually we're in chapter 5, when I said it, a major ministry in Kansas. Just like that. Now, if God spends time dealing with stuff like this and say, hey, wisdom, you're my sister. Understanding, you're my kinswoman. So that you can be kept. Wisdom and understanding will keep you from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattered with her words. Remember what we talked about? It's about the words. Yeah? Remember this? It's not the looks. Forget that. If you think it's looks, you're going to fail. It's the words. If the words are getting too sweet, stay away. Because when the words are too sweet, that's what is going to be written in the tables of your heart. You're going to be thinking about that person that was so nice and so kind and so whatever. Thank you very much. Step away. Step away. Doesn't matter whether a person is beautiful or not beautiful, skinny or fat, if I can use the word, short or tall, old or young, it doesn't matter. Step back. Protect your heart. Because it is from your heart that's where the issues of life come forth. It's very important. He says, for at the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. A young man that had not made understanding his kinswoman. Void of understanding. I'm looking out my window. I see this young guy. Void of understanding. Passing through the street near her corner. Remember what I said in one of the teachings as we're coming through 5 and 6? I say, don't get her address. Now, I'm speaking to you all right this very moment because the people listening online, people here, you are ministers, you are pastors, you are leaders. And you're going to deal with people. And you need to know where the line is. Because if you don't, you're going to falter. Plain simple as that. Nobody is exempt. Not you, not me. So I need to be wise. I need to check everything every time. Have things settled. Platonic? Okay. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. He went the way to her house. No understanding. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark of night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Oh, yes. Her feet abide not in her house. This is a wild one. And you're going to be the one that's going to tame her, right? Okay. Now is she without? Now in the streets? And light in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings. Oh, suki suki, I have peace offerings. Don't you love the word of God? Straight talk. God is not messing around. You know, he's telling us how it happened. I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Ooh, spiritual, religious. Oh, she's a very good sister. Yeah. She has peace offerings. Got it covered. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Connection with God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I have paid my vows. I'm in good standing with God. I got grace. Therefore, came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. Oh, so you've been kissing me, eh? Yeah. But it's been said very subtly. His ego has been piped up. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. My house smells really good. Wow. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, says. For the good man is not at home. The good man is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. So what is this? This harlot. She happens to be a married woman. Oh, not expected. Married woman, what will a married woman want with me? Well, not when you are being targeted. These things don't just happen. He had taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. And watch verse 21. With her much fair speech. What did we say it was all about? It's a talk. Notice the Bible is not spending time talking about her beauty, her looks, or whatever. It's talking about the talk. And the next thing he talks about, it's about the scent, the smells. Yeah? Okay. He says, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. She caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him, not with her strength. Are you seeing it? I hope you're seeing it. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter. That's what exactly what it is. Goeth to the slaughter. What happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's going to blow up. It's going to blow up. Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Those are the two things. You're going to die, or you're going to get a good, serious beating. And that happens till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Oh, it's just nothing. We're just going to have coffee. Okay? Just coffee. Now, I want you to think for a moment. I'm not going to give you the answer right away, but I want to hear you. What makes this issue of sex so hyper important? We just think it was just sex. Why is it so important to God that God keeps on going here and saying, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that? I need a mic. Could you get me the mic? I want to hear your voices. Tell me what you think. Why is it so important to God? What is this then? Because if you don't understand this, then you don't see the importance of why God is honing on it. Is this mama's or? This is mama's? Okay. Okay, who wants to go? Oh, loud. Who wants to go? Who wants to tell me why this is so important to God? Nobody? Give it a shot. Yeah.
Well, for one thing, it's against his commandment. Okay. That's adultery, but it's because it's spiritual. It's not just a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
And it will affect so many. And it can cause you to burn in hell.
Mm. All right. Thank you. It's a spiritual thing. Okay. That's the right answer. But there's more to it. Who wants to go? Anyone? Wants to take it up, just say, okay, this is what I think. It's important. There are no wrong answers. Nobody wants to go for this? Okay. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, it says that a person that commits the sin of fornication and adultery sins against himself, because you become one as a spiritual aspect. You become one with that person, which means that every iniquity attached to that person and to whoever else they are connected to, because they become one with those persons, and you come and you become one with them, you now do not have issues that are just your issues anymore. You have issues of hundreds of other people. If they have diseases in their family line, you just came into it. If you have, you know, I was listening to, somebody sent me something today, and this woman was talking about, she must have been in her early 40s, I think. And she was bemoaning the fact that she had breast cancer. He says, nobody in my family has breast cancer. And she's at stage 3. No one that I know has breast cancer in my family. It's not part of our family line. We've never had it. And I'm saying, okay, let's go back and find out what kind of sexual situations you were connected to. And let us try to find out from all of those people that the people you got connected to were connected to. And before you know it, we'll find breast cancer. It was not part of our family line. It was not part of what their family went through, but some way, somehow, somebody that she's connected with premaritally has a connection to that. Remember when we had the situation with AIDS? Actually, before AIDS came on, I had taught this particular principle. And when they talked about AIDS, they said, if you sleep with somebody that has AIDS, you've not just slept with them, you've slept with everybody that they've slept with. Remember that? Same thing. It's a spiritual aspect. But AIDS was just a physical aspect. So when you, without the covering, the filter of the commandment of God that sanctifies you and separates you from those lines of iniquity, you go without the covering of God and you're exposed to the slew of things that should not have come. So when you have your marriage blessed, God filters a lot of stuff off of your life. It's just blocked. No matter what they did before, he blocks it. But let me define that by this. By not being unequally yoked. When you yoke yourself with an unbeliever, somebody who does not know God, doesn't care about the things of God, they are religious, like this woman. I had my peace offering and I've given my vows. But they don't know God? Okay, you're going to be borrowing some problems. So you want to have a pure relationship. Don't let, time is running. You know, the clock is running on me. I would like to have a child. Blah, 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 blah. So any which way, God will forgive me later. Don't do it. God will forgive me later. I've made my peace offering. Don't do it, don't do it. Because you're going to borrow problems. This is very, very important. Yes. Come, let me hear you properly. And for the benefit of others. Oh, sorry. Okay, there we go.
So my question is, can you cleanse yourself from your previous partners if you're promiscuous? If you vow to God and ask for forgiveness and you don't have sexual relationships for 2 years, can you do a cleansing?
Yes. And the way that works is that God forgives us all our sins and cleanses us from all our iniquities. But one of the key principles, if you remember, one of the teachings about confession, right? Confession is about saying the same thing. So when you confess your sins to God and you agree with God, God, I blew it. I messed up in my ignorance. Knowingly or unknowingly, I come before you and ask for forgiveness. I ask, oh God, that you cleanse me. The Bible tells us that God will cleanse us from all of our sins and of all our unrighteousness. And he will say to us, go and sin no more. So when you surrender yourself to God, you give God the license to take that past away as far as the east is from the west, so that that sin and that iniquity is no longer attached to you. Yes. Yeah, he turns it, exactly. So he says, come, let us reason together. Okay? So he turns it around. Now, the unfortunate thing is that many times people don't listen and continue. He says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And knowing the truth is that place of where wisdom, knowledge, and understanding come together in play. So God is able to cleanse me, all right? And I don't have to be under the judgment of that thing. Now, having said that, that does not mean that the enemy doesn't come to accuse you afterwards. It is now your right to say, that is under the blood. I thank God for his grace, which is sufficient. I am made every whit whole, and you cannot put this accusation on me. No way, no how. I reject that. That's not my portion. And God will honor that. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9, I think. Okay? He's able to do that. So we are not under that judgment. What we're trying to address at this point, and thank you so very much for that question. I was going to get there, but you brought me there quicker. What we have to settle is to understand that this sin, you know, sin is sin. But if I were to say, if there is a sin that trumps the sins, there will be two of them. Sexual immorality and pride. Those two. And pride, incidentally, becomes the conduit to sexual immorality on both fronts. One front is, look at me, I'm a hunk. Look at me, I'm so beautiful, I'm a 10. Okay. That would get you into that immorality. Or the flip side of pride, you not knowing who you are in Christ and therefore feeling like a nobody, can also, because you want to be accepted, that false sense of being a nobody, which God assigns as pride also, because it means that you are not agreeing with what God says about you. So you must know something better than God. Nada makes you proud. So a low self-esteem and a hyper self-esteem in the sight of God are both pride. And that pride will always lead to destruction. So let me wrap up this for today. It says, hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Let not thine heart decline. That's a powerful word. Decline, meaning go down. There's no up on this then. To our ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she had cast down many wounded. Oh. For she had cast down many what? Wounded. Remember what we talked about just a moment ago about low self-esteem? That's connected to being wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. That's the flip side of the pride. A strong man. I got it. Yeah. Let me put it this way. Very, very bad English. I hear it here in Canada, and I just say, what? Boat of use. use people. The proud and the low self-esteem, boat of use. You're finished. You don't want to go there. Define yourself by God. Not by anything. Not by anyone. Define yourself strictly by who God is. That's where your safety and my safety is. When you attach yourself to things and you define yourself by things, you set yourself up for disaster. Now, this doesn't just happen overnight. It's systematic. It just keeps on building. Like it says, lay up the commandments. So also, little things that show up pride or lack of esteem set you up. I'll tell you a story. I've shared this story quite a few times because it's ultimately God that helps us. Everything we've been talking about, it's all about God's help, not your ability, not your smarts. Because if God leaves us to ourselves, we are all together, every one of us flawed. Okay? I remember this got to be 25 plus years back. I had an Oldsmobile, I think it was a Cutlass. And this particular vehicle had a chip, and the chip will let you know when your door is ajar, so it will actually speak to you. It will say, our door is ajar. I had not seen any car like that before. It was just an amazing car. It had some rust on it, but we're not going to talk about that. My car talks. That was a big deal. I took my son out to for his soccer game, and I'm packed, and I stay in the car. I stay in the car because I wanted somebody else to pull by my car, and then I will open my car, and my car will say, "Ado is ajar." And I sat down there for 15, 20 minutes until a car pulled by me in the parking lot, and I opened it, and the car said, "Ado is ajar." And I was, "Oh, yes. Oh, my special car. Oh, my, me special." And the Lord says to Mrs. "A car is ajar, your door is ajar. That's why you've been sitting here, right, son?" And it dawned on me. I was aligning my rust back, rust vehicle. Not much of a rust, but, you know, very little bubble by one of the wheels. I was defining my importance based on, wow, Lord God Almighty. That was in here. Oh God, have mercy. Have mercy on my soul. Help me. Help me. Have mercy. Help me. This foolishness got to get away from me. Help me, Lord. I cried to the Lord about that. He forgave, but I thanked him greatly because he had pinpointed on something that was in there. I was defining myself by a car. You know, you can define yourself by that car. Define yourself by your degrees, by your house, by your children, by whatever else. And you'll be in the same boat. You define yourself primarily on the fact that you are a child of the Most High God and that you're saved by His grace. Lord, it's all about you, Jesus. That's it. Defining yourself by anything else hauls you into disaster. You know, one of the things the Lord taught me many years ago, actually at the very foundation of this church, He said, "Don't ever count. Don't count the church membership. Don't count." I see the wisdom of it. And that same principle holds true whether we are this number, or we have a full house, or we are in an arena, or whatever. Don't count. Because your counting is either going to help define you as, "Oh, we are so small, we cannot this and we cannot that," or, "Oh, we have thousands of people, we have millions of people," and that makes you walk different. And so you're not willing to listen to the small guy anymore because you're so important now. How dare they waste your time? Your time is so precious. The small man cannot reach you anymore. because you've defined yourself into a different class. It's the same thing like my car. The only thing that defines you is Christ and Christ alone, God. I am created in the image and the likeness of God, period. That's it. Not your suit, not your tie, not your shoes, not your hat, not your car, not anything. Not how much you have in the bank. That's not what defines you. If you allow that to define you, you've set yourself already to be pulled down by a woman or by a man. You know how many big shots, wealthy people have entangled themselves with a strange woman because they want to be grounded? I am so powerful. Everybody listens to me. I need somebody to help me get grounded. And they start getting themselves involved in some kinky nonsense because they want to be grounded. You know where you need to be grounded? The Word of God. You don't get yourself grounded there. You'll find yourself in a very bad spot. May the Lord deliver us from evil. Amen. And finally, her house is the way to hell. Like you said earlier, there's a pathway to hell going down to the chambers of death. It was just sex. No, it was hell. No, it was just sex. No, it was chambers of death. So, now, I know we talked about women primarily, but that is also true for men. It's just a matter of flipping it depending on your gender. It's a strange man. The strange man says, hey, you should come. Look at my nice car. I'll buy your house. Here's some jewelry. Here's some celestials. I'll buy you anything you want. Same difference. So, please don't forget the things we're talking about. I went through this chapter fairly quickly because we've been dealing with the same subject in 5 and 6 and 7. And it says the one thing that's going to keep you from that is what? What will keep you from this strange woman? Huh? Commitment? Marriage? That sounds good, but that's not it. Huh? Wisdom and knowledge. And rather, wisdom and understanding. This is speak to wisdom. You're my sister. Now, wisdom will bring you to the place where you have commitment and all of that. The Bible says, get married rather than burning.
Yeah? Yeah. So it's all together. But get wisdom. Speak to wisdom. Say to wisdom, you're my sister. And to understanding, you're my kinswoman. For they shall keep you from the strange woman. Having that knowledge is pertinent. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your plans and your thoughts towards us, O God, are altogether great. We give you praise for all things. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us, O God, from the strange woman and the strange man. Help us, O God, to embrace wisdom and understanding and abide in the knowledge of the truth by continuing in your word. Help us live life to the full. We give you praise for all things, Father. Blessed be your holy name, Most High God. Thank you for forgiveness of sins and for cleansing from all unrighteousness. Remove all iniquities from us, for your word says, by mercy and truth are iniquities purged, and by the fear of God, men depart from evil. Lord, may we have true reverence for you and depart from evil. May our eyes not behold evil things. May we not lay up evil around us. But may the decisions we make day in, day out glorify you, that our worship of you truly be in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your eternal grace. We give you praise, Father, for all things. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, bless you. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. If we have not honored the Lord yet, it's the time for you to give your offering to the Lord. And thankful for God's grace. Can I see on that screen those that are on Zoom? Okay, I can see back that way. Sister Carol, bless you. And I don't know who God is good is. Would you let us see your face at least today? God is good. If you don't mind. Well, God is good. He's not letting us see his or her face.
Hello.
Oh, we thank God that you were with us today. Amen. Bless you. Hallelujah.